All right, you can make your way to your seat and stand up. Good to have you today. I want to talk to you today about something that will change your life when you incorporate it. A lot of our people are watching us. We've got people strewn from California to Florida. School starts in, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that? School begins again. Isn't that fantastic? It's great being a grandfather because I no longer have to discipline kids. Our life is over for discipline for my part. I'm the administrator of our academy, and Sue whips them, our principal whips them, and all this and that, and I don't have to do nothing. I just go love on them and encourage them. I stir them up, give them to the teachers. Oh, great, great time. But I want to talk to you about something today that will change your life. It'll change how you feel about yourself. It'll change how you feel about the Lord. It'll change how you feel about your wife, your husband. Is that rain? It's raining outside right now, pouring down rain. So we're going nowhere, so I got you a captive audience for a good while. It'll change how you feel about, President Barack Obama. It'll change how you feel about, Governor Jindal. It'll change how you feel about your teacher, your neighbor, your classmate. It will change. It'll help your prayer life tremendously. It'll change, you name it. You'll see it in just a second. But why am I teaching what I'm teaching on? Because it will change your life if you incorporate it into your life. So let's start out. Go ahead and get the first scripture. Love one another with brotherly affection. And I want to know how many of you are obeying this next verse. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another in showing. I've saw a lot of competition before. I've raised kids. I've pastored a church a long time. I've saw a lot of competition on what they wanted to outdo someone in. But I'm honest with you, I've never yet saw anyone try to outdo the other one in showing honor. All right? So I want to talk to you today. Today I want to talk to you simply about that one thought is the word, everybody say honor. Father, we love you today. Thank you for your grace of teaching us beyond our minds, teach our hearts, change us from the inside out. Let us not only do these things, but be these things. We ask you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. You can be seated, would you? Now, look at somebody besides you. I'm going to outdo you in honor day. Just say, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to outdo you. All right, what does honor mean? I've learned this. Definitions can mean so much different to different people. What does honor mean? Let me give you a definition for it. It means to attach high value to something or someone. To attach high value to someone or something. To attach high value. If you talk to a Hebrew person, then when you talk to them about honor, they will talk about giving weight to something, making it worth something, saying that's worth. What's value to one may not be value to another person. You go to garage sales, you see that to be true. You go and you see stores, what's valuable to one may not be valuable to another. And so they mean to give weight. The Hebrew word for that, for honor, literally means to add weight, to give weight to something. The word dishonor means to treat as common. A Hebrew man would tell you it means to give it no value, make it weightless, make it no weight to it. It'd be like a piece of paper that you wad up where it has no weight to it. You're just throwing it away versus a piece of gold. So there's something that you honor or you dishonor. And really, in your life, you are either honoring or dishonoring people around you, your friends, a boyfriend, girlfriend, teacher, president, governor, wife, husband, neighbor, pastor. You're either honoring them or you are dishonoring them. It all depends, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. Now, when you an honor, and you decide who you're going to honor and what you're going to honor. You decide what you're going to dishonor and who you're going to dishonor. So let's talk about that a little bit today. Matthew 6:21 says it this way. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I tell you something about love? Don't ever tell me I can never love that person. You have a decision of your heart. Because if you treasure them, your heart will follow. Whatever you treasure, whatever you put your time, your money, your effort, your talent, your energy into, you will fall in love with that. Remember the story I told you about the man that wanted to divorce his wife, hated her, couldn't stand her, and he and his buddies talking, he said, let me tell you how to do this to really get her. You start just doing things for this woman. Just wait on her. Buy her presents. Buy her flowers. Send her cards. All this. And then you do this for 6 months. And then at the end of 6 months, just one day walk in and say, I'm divorcing you. Bye. It'll break. It'll really get her. At the end of 6 months, he did all that. His buddy said, did you do it yet? Have you walked into? He said, I'm not. I love this woman. She's the greatest thing I ever had in my life. She's fantastic. I never could have met a better woman in my life. You know why? Because what he treasures, there will your heart be also. What you treasure, don't allow your heart to lead you. You lead your heart. Do not allow your heart to lead you. You lead your heart. How do you do that, Pastor? Treasure. Whatever you treasure, you will love. Wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. On and on. One of the things you can do is whatever we treasure today is where our feelings are. Never degrade yourself. Never put yourself down. Never say you're stupid. I'm ugly. Nobody's ever going to love me. Never, ever dishonor yourself. Say, I'm a child of the living God. God loved me so much, He gave His only begotten Son for me. I must be worth something. Come on, somebody. I don't care what they said in school about me. You know, some of the meanest remarks you'll ever have is when you're in school. How'd you throw big ears? You must have stole them off an elephant. Come on, somebody. They say all kinds of mean things to you when you're in school. They make remarks. They're just cutting. You know, the little cliques that get going. I always got a little, you know, the queen of the group and all this and that. You've got to learn just to say, I don't care what they say. I know what God says about me. I'm a child of the living God. Come on, somebody. All right, honor. Let's talk about honor. I'm going to talk about a few of this. Where are some areas that God tells us to honor? Number one is this. He says, honor your father and your mother. They're not our old man. They're not our old lady. They're not, you know, this and that. The Bible says, honor them. Look at the scripture. It says it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Everybody say honor. Honor, give weight to, give high value to. Give high value to your mother and your father. And listen to what it says. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. One of the first memories of my life when I was in high school, I remember, I never forgot this scene. We're having basketball practice during the Christmas break. And in Virginia, it snows a lot. We're all in there. We're practicing. The coach got us in a circle. He's talking to us. And suddenly one of our teammates walks in. And the teammate walks in. The coach, you know, derides him. What are you doing? You're late. What are you doing? He said, well, I'm sorry. He said, my dad told me that I could only drive 20 miles an hour because of the snow. The coach snickers away. Looks at all of us, just shakes, snickers away. And we all start snickering. This guy is obeying his dad. Come on, somebody. You know what? He was dishonoring this boy because this boy was honoring his father. I don't care who dishonors me. When I'm honoring my father, I don't care who will dishonor me. I'm going to honor my father. And you see, that stuck in my mind. I never forgot that all the days of my life. I'm 30 years old. I've never forgotten that all the days of my life. So some things you remember because honoring, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. You know, it's one of the amazing things I've learned is how can one mom take care of five kids and five kids can't take care of one mom when she gets old? Can I get a better amen in this house? I know there's a difference because when your parents get old and you're dealing with them in your mindset, you know, when we're young, they're going to outgrow it. Well, when you're dealing with your parents, you know, they're not going to outgrow it. I know that's a difference. But you've got to come back to the place. Remember, you weren't easy to live with when you were little. You did lots of dumb things. You put and did and tore and broke and all this and that and all, I mean, the rest. My mom used to love, I don't know if you still do this. My mom loved to grow plants in her house and she used fish emulsion. Any of you use a fish emulsion? It stinks to high heaven. Guess what us boys used to do with those plants when mama wasn't looking? Oh, it was gone in North 40. Those things would be thrown. What happened to that plant? I don't know what happened to that plant. I don't know. I'm telling that. My mom's not here this morning, so she doesn't know that. All right. Curse that technology. Kenny said she's watching by Skype. Curse that technology. All right, number two. Who else are we to honor? Christian brothers and sisters. We are to honor each other in the church. Romans 12:10, our scripture today, says, outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo each other in showing honor to each other. Look at the next scripture. Do nothing from rivalry and conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We are to honor each other. On and on. Look at the next scripture, Luke 25. We'll go on to the next scripture. I'm sorry, past Philippians, go to the next scripture. Peter, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Now watch this. Be subject to every human institution for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the emperor, and in our day that would be President Barack Obama. Watch this. Be subject to the Lord's sake for every human institution. You know what that means? That means honor the government by going the speed limit. Ooh, can I? It's hey, that's tight, but it's right. Come on, somebody. That means when you're driving down the road, you can have a decision to make, and you can either honor or dishonor the policeman. When he pulls you over, you're going 35 and a 20, and you got that look on your face. Guess who really deserves a ticket? Come on, Wally, say amen. Wally's a policeman in the back there. Come on, somebody. Honor every obey it because the Lord's sake. You're honoring the Lord. Be subject to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be by the emperor as supreme, or to governors, Governor Jindal, or sent to him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God. Everybody say, this is the will of God. To go 55 miles an hour. Oh, man. That by doing good, you should put to silence. Isn't it bad? Now, I got to tell you, when I first started, the Lord had to convict me of this because I had a Fuzzbuster on my dashboard. And the first time my kids asked me, what's that, Daddy? Well, it's a little box that tells me if there's bad things coming at me, radar and stuff like that, you know. Oh, yeah, Daddy, what is it? Well, I'm using this to break the law. I'm using this to disobey the authority that's over me. But I want you to obey me everywhere, everything I say to you. Can I get a better amen? This will of God, by doing this, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, but not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Everybody say honor everyone. Honor everyone. I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things I have is when I go out to eat with people and they express to the waiter or waitress that we are Christians. And then when they leave the table, they'll leave something, you know, or they'll give them a try. And then they'll leave them a dollar bill as a tip. I can't tell you how many times, if you ever see this, how many times I've gone out the door with them and then I said, I'm sorry, I'll be right back. I've gone back in and I have felt so embarrassed. Because that is a dishonor. Because some of these people, they're working hard. Some of them are single moms. They've got a child or two at home. They're trying to make ends meet. And you're sitting there, you know, eating a $50 meal and give them a dollar as a tip. Come on, somebody. I ought to take you outside and smack you up. Get the fivefold hand of blessing upon you, you know, something like that. Yeah. Okay, today's... Oh, get off that hobby horse. Come on. I'm doing it. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor Barack Obama. Then that day, it was Caesar. Oh, yeah, but you're not talking about somebody like the president we got now. That was Caesar in the day. He was horrible. He burned Christians as candles. He put them on stakes, set them on fire, and burnt them. Honor everyone. Servants, be subject to your master with all respect, not only to the good, not only the good presidents, the good bosses, the good teachers, the good neighbors, the good relatives, the good husband, the good wife, not only to the good, but also, and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing when mindful of God. Listen, when mindful of God, you're doing this because you're mindful of God, who endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure. But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure. This is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving for you an example so you might follow in his footsteps. Everybody said a good amen today, would you? Look at Romans 12. Listen what it says. I'm sorry. For by the grace given to me, I say everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly in justice. Listen, we ought not to get on high horses thinking we're better than anybody else. One of the best things I loved about President Reagan was, you watched him, he shook everybody's hands. He'd be getting on the plane on his Air Force One. He'd shake those soldiers that were sitting there by the bottom of the plane. He'd shake their hands. He'd salute them. He gave them, you know, you ever been around somebody that's just so, got their nose so high in the air, you know, they don't look at the little people. One of my buddies one time, he said he heard the garbage man coming up, heard the garbage truck coming up. And this back before the automated things, and this when they used to, guys used to, you remember the you guys used to stay on the back of the garbage truck and rolling on down? He said, the Lord said, go honor them. Go give them a thing of water, a piece. He went and grabbed them. It was a hot day. Grabbed them a bottle of water each. He was running out there, and they'd already come by his place. So he's going to run down the road. He's in his pajamas. He's going to run down the road, give them both a thing of water and honor them. Well, when they dumped his garbage, they broke a jar, never picked it up. He ran right on top of that. Come on, that glass. How many know that last few steps are pretty hard to give them the water and honor them? All right, sometimes God will try you. Come on, somebody. Hebrews, look at Hebrews. Go next. Pray for us, and we are sure that we have clear conscience, desiring to act what? Let me tell you, one of the most important people you will act honor to is yourself. You know what? Let me give you a guess right here. You will never get away from you. You are stuck with you for all of time. Even when you die, you don't get away from you. You goes with you when you die. You can't divorce you. You can't move away from you. You can move to California. Guess who goes with you? You. You ever thought about that? You never get away from you. You're stuck with you. So why don't you be a good you? I don't usually read poems, but let me just read this poem to you. I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun, hate myself for the things I've done. I don't want to keep on a closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself. Fool myself as I come and go and thinking that nobody else will know. The kind of man I really am, I don't want to dress up myself in a sham. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all the men's respect. But here in the struggle for fame and self, I want to be able to like myself. You know it's okay to like yourself. Now don't grin at yourself in the mirror every time you go by there. But you know it is good to like yourself. I like myself. We'll leave it there. I can never hide myself from me. I see what others may never see. I know what others may never know. I never can fool myself, and so whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. So one of the keys about is honoring everybody. You got to honor yourself too. Walk in honor. Walk in honor. Walk in honor. Don't do it for anybody. Do it for yourself. Walk in honor. That you can look yourself in the mirror. All right, number two. Who else does the Bible say honor? Look at this. The Bible says honor the Lord. Look at the scripture. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. But now, the Lord says, because a lot of this, he promised that to David. But a lot of David's offspring that became king after him began to go away from God. Here's what God said. Okay, now change the rules. Here's the rule. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who, what? Those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Look at Luke chapter 12. If you honor the Lord, he'll honor you. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied. There will be a day when we will all stand before God, but we're just not me and God. There's an audience there. There's angels innumerable. Gabriel will be there. Michael, the archangel, will be there. They'll all be standing there. Huge, I mean, angels of God. The seraphim, the cherubim will be there. And we will be brought before God one at a time. And we will either be honored or dishonored in that day. He will either honor us or he will dishonor us. We'll stand there and he'll say, I honor that person or I dishonor them. I know them or I don't know them. The day, it all depends on whether we have honored him or not honored him. Look at the next scripture. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord paid, in the Hebrew, that word paid attention. It's the Hebrew word picture of a man hearing something. He wants to listen. And he's bending down his ear to hear what is being said. Who does the Lord do that to? Those that are honoring him and esteeming his name. The Bible says God bends down and listens to you as you talk. It says, and those who feared the Lord, spoke to one another. What did they speak about? They were speaking about the Lord. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord, and what this? Esteemed, glorified, honored his name. Those who were honoring the name of the Lord, he listened to them. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day I'll make up my treasured possession. I'll spare him as a man spares all his own son that serves him. Look at the next scripture. Look at this. This people, honor me with their lips. A couple ways to honor people. You can honor with what you say about them. You can honor them with your actions. But all honor originates from the heart. It can be pretend. You're doing it just to get them to like you or for whatever reason. Or it can come out of your heart because you live honor. You're an honorable person. And that honor comes out of your heart. It says they come. Look at the next scripture. A son honors his father. A servant his master. If I'm a father, God says, where is my honor? Now go to the next. Past Malachi. Go to the next scripture now. Go on past Malachi. Okay. He went away from there. I want you to watch this. Honor many times will determine things in your life that you don't realize this is what's causing the problem in your life. You know, some healing doesn't occur because of dishonor. Some finances in your life didn't happen because of dishonor. Some relationships go south because of dishonor. Neighbors build fences between themselves because of dishonor. Wives and husbands split up because of dishonor. Let me show you this. He went away, Jesus, and he came to his hometown, Nazareth. His disciples followed him. And watch this. Doesn't say he would not, but listen to what it says. Jesus, Almighty God, could not. What? No, you mean he would not. No. He could not do no mighty work there except little arthritis over here, cold over here, flu over here. He laid his hands on a few sick people, healed. He could not. Hometown, why? Why couldn't you do that? Why, Lord? Look what it says. She went out. No, I'm sorry, back up. Yeah, I'm missing some in Mark. Let's see. You have Mark 2. Did I get the wrong scripture? Mark 2, 3 and 4. Let me tell you what it says. He went to his hometown. And they looked and said, isn't this Joseph's son? Remember, he's the carpenter. Remember, he's the carpenter. Remember that? He grew up here. He played T-ball with Joe, you know, our little son Joe. He was in first grade with my daughter Sally. He made the kitchen table in our living room. I mean, our kitchen. He made the kitchen table. He built part of our house. He's a carpenter. And they said, they did it. Says he could do mighty work there. And it said, here's what he said. When they said those things, here's what he stood up. He says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and among his own people. Do you hear that? Why could he do no mighty miracle there? Because of honor. Let me tell you how important honor is in your life. It'll keep you from some things you could have part of. It kept these people from getting healed. It kept these people from God doing something in their life that they needed done in their life. Maybe a loved one. It kept them. You know why? Because they were not honoring Jesus. They were, the Bible says, they dishonored. Everybody say dishonor, would you? If you want to see the glory of God, if you want to see it. All right, those are important. But let me end up with an area that the Bible says you have to honor. And I'm just going to throw this out. The fourth one is this. The Bible commands us to honor our wives. One guy said, why don't you get on the wives some? I said, because we got broad shoulders. We can handle this, all right? Look at this scripture here. Watch this. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives. Everybody say understanding. How many have realized that women are more different than men than just physically? Have you noticed that so far? I'm going to tell you the truth. I pastored the church 7 years, 7 years single, before I met Jasmine. There wasn't one fight in my house in those 7 years. I'm going to tell you the truth. There wasn't one fight in my entire house in 7 years. I don't know how I did it, but I just got along with myself. I mean, there was no problem understanding. Everything I said, I understood. Come on, somebody. When I communicated, these two ears of mine picked up every word I said. I'm going to tell you what channel that TV was going to be on. I didn't fight. I didn't have one argument with myself. When I went to bed, there wasn't one argument with myself. What I thought about things, wasn't one argument about myself. It's what I thought about it. That's right. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you something else. The way my bed was made, that's the way my bed was made. There wasn't a thing wrong with that bed. If those dirty dishes stayed in there until I cooked that same thing again and used it again, it stayed in that sink until I got back there again. That's truth. If my clothes wanted to lay out on the floor and over this couch and that chair and this bed in, I didn't have one argument with myself. Life was easy. Come on, somebody. And then, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing what? Uh-oh, here it comes again. Here's that giving value to someone or something. Or dishonor, not giving value. Devaluing it. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel. Weaker intellectually? Absolutely not. There's a lot of dumb guys in here. Your wife's a whole lot smarter than you. We're not talking about weaker intellectually. Weaker spiritually? Absolutely not. We're heirs. The Bible says, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. But it talks about physically, most women in here are weaker than men. I used to say this when I was in the 30s and 40s. Now I'm hitting near 60. I think I can still take almost every woman here in an arm wrestling match. I think I can beat most every woman in here in an arm wrestling match. I think I could do it. I don't know, but there was a time I could do it. I think I can do it now. But the key is, she is the weaker vessel physically. Just because you can, shout her down and back her down and do all this stuff and raise your hand and all that kind of stuff, that's not living in an understanding way. It's not showing honor to your wife or your husband. Because you know how to barb or snap or say or cut down. You're not living with them in an understanding way. The Bible says if you don't want your prayers hindered, I don't know why my business is not doing no good. Well, God's not answering your prayer. Well, I'm going to answer my prayer because you're dishonoring your wife. Ooh, can I get a better amen in a Presbyterian church? Come on. It's tight, but it's right. Say it again. It's tight, but it's right. All right, 1 Peter 3, we read that. It says, and let me just say this. Let me give you some ideas how to do that. Let me just give you some differences between men and women, and then we're going to pray, and then I'm going to run away, all right? I want to show you how to honor your wife or your husband. Because they're different than you. They're made different than you. Now, about 80% of this works for everybody. None of it's 100%. But 80% of this, 20% of you will be the other way. I understand that. You can apply it to yourself accordingly. Let me just give you a feeling. When a baby is conceived, at the very outset, we are different. Our chromosomes are different. When we're born, the baby boy and a baby girl, absolutely our makeup physically is different. The girl has two X chromosomes, a boy has the X and a Y. That's why a woman has a better immune system, they say, than a man does right from the beginning when the cells begin to divide. That's why a woman normally outlives the man about 8 years. That's how it normally works. And all across the world. But normally about 8 years, the woman outlives the man. You ought to plan for that financially if you're doing that. Three is women tend to deteriorate about 2% physically every 10 years. Men, we deteriorate about 10% every 10 years. And past the age of 40, we speed up. But men, even though we deteriorate better, we wrinkle later than women wrinkle. Why don't you get rid of those wrinkles out of your face? Because she's made that way. I'm just helping you understand honor here. With that. Women have about 4/5 of a gallon of blood. We have a gallon and a half. Got more blood than you. Men have 1 million more red blood cells in every drop of blood than a woman. That's one of the reasons on a typical day, you're out in the field, out in the yard working. Honey, I think I better quit. Get on back out here. Don't be a lazy bum. Get back out here and work on this yard. Do all this. You know why? Because a man can outwork a woman in a given day. The reason is physically, that's the way God made us. We're made that way, all right? Tell the lions that when you watch the lion show. Tell them that. Men, 40% of our body weight is muscle. Women, 20% of your body weight is muscle. That's usually why men can out arm wrestle, I said, a woman. But women have an added insulation cells right under their skin. That's why a girl's skin, a woman's skin, is softer than a man's skin. But it's also the reason why a man can lose weight faster than a woman. Worst thing you do is, let's go on a weight losing thing together. All right. Hey, how many pounds you lose? I lost 10 pounds this week. How many pounds you lose? I don't want to talk about it. And you think, just because you're eating those Twinkies when I'm not here during the day, I'm out there working and sweating. You're in there watching, you know, as the world goes around eating. No, it's absolutely, it's how they're made. They have a harder time losing weight than a man does. Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian church? Come on, women, you ought to be shouting about now. Women's metabolic rate is slower. That's why they can eat and gain, you know, a lot more. Men's bones are heavier. And I said this earlier, men's bones are heavier. And the next one is, it's one of those constitutional, we declare these truths to be self-evident. A man's skull is thicker. Hey, our skulls are thicker than your wives. Just a scientific fact there. But probably the most dramatic difference between us is what happens to us when we're little. When we're born, our brains, it's our brains. That's the biggest difference. When we're born, everybody's brains, boys and little girls, little babies, our brains, our left hemisphere, our right hemisphere is connected. But what happens among boys is there is these chemical washes that come through our body, testosterone, some other stuff that makes us males, makes us what we are, washed through our body, unlike the female. And what it does, it severs the right hemisphere from the left hemisphere. And it shrinks the left side of our brain. But a woman, that never washes through her brain, so her right and left side of her brain still connected. And ours is split and shrunk. Come on, somebody. You've seen a raisin, or you've seen a, you know, whatever. And what happens is it makes men, us, to be more lateral in our thinking. We either think on the left or the right at one time or the other. And what happens is, in the best analogy we use before, but is that men, we are waffles. Everything in our life, we're in little squares. Our TV is square. Our truck is square. You know, come on, somebody. Our basketballs are goals are square. I mean, our courts are square. We just live in squares. And the way we work is this. If in the morning we get up and we do something we don't think about, you know, we just do something, you know, that's not real great, you know, romantic or something, and we say a little argument, we say a little word, a sharp word. Well, we leave for work, and that square is left there, and we go on to work. Next square. we go on to the next square. Then we come home in the afternoon, and then we go to bed, and we're ready for whatever in bed. Where the wife is not, the wife is spaghetti. That's what she is. She's spaghetti. Everything is connected to everything else. This morning's little activity is connected to tonight. And when the guy splashes out a little bit of that moonlight over Opelousa, and he comes in the bedroom with his Tarzan outfit on, Jade says, you might want to go find the monkey somewhere. You know, you just need to leave the bedroom and go do something. You know, you need to go work, do something. Because all of that is connected. But the guys, we're just disconnected. We just, this has no bearing on this, and this has no bearing on this, and this has no bearing on that. All right. They did a test on little boys, little girls, and 2 to 4 years old. They put microphones on them, and they put them into play for a day, and here's what they found out. They found 100% of all the noises coming out of a girl's mouth had to do with conversation. She's either talking to her friends or she was talking to herself, but she was talking to it. They did a test. The same test was on the boys. Guess what? How much conversation was among the boys? 40%. 60% of the noise coming out of them. Does that explain a lot of what goes on in families today? Who does most of the talk? See, who does most of the talk? Well, I did that this morning. We won't do it anymore. But, you know, one of the keys is next time she wants you to go to the symphony or to a flower show, you say, I can't. I'm brain damaged. The pastor told me I'm brain damaged. I can't go to that. Have you ever been on a trip with a man? And, you know, a man, we're conquer-oriented. That's the way we are. We went out and got the meat and the bacon and brought it out. Well, when we're on a trip, you know, I got 250 miles to conquer today. Better set your camera on 600 ISO or something, because you better take them pictures fast, because we're not stopping. This is the truth. One time we got porta potties and put them in the back of our van, so we didn't have to stop. We still keep on moving. We ain't stopped no bathroom. Get on that porta potty back there. We're gonna keep on moving. That's why, because the guy. That's the way we're built. We're made to conquer things. Now, most of you have learned, and you're not like that anymore. You've learned how to, with an understanding way. That's why, one of the worst things that happens when you're dating, here's the key. When you're dating, you don't like a lot of stuff, but you never say, oh yeah, I like it, I love it. But inside, you go, oh. And that's why when you get, girls understand this, when you get them to the altar, they say, I do, I say, I do. Well, they conquered. Let's go shopping. I ain't going shopping, I don't go shopping. But you, we shopping with me, when we, yeah, but I conquered that. Well, I'm not going shopping. It's like you go in, you know, you go in a jewelry store. Where you going to a jewelry store? You got a ring, I got a ring. Come on out of that jewelry store. You don't need no going to no jewelry. Or the worst thing is when you go shopping, you know, we have, okay, what do we need? We're gonna get a, you know, pair of pants. Well, in a guy's brain, guess what a guy thinks? We're going to get a pair of pants. It's not what a girl's thinking. She goes to that mall and she starts having relationships. With every piece of clothing in that place, she feels it, she rubs it. And you know what the good thing is? Do you like this? Do you like this? Does it look good? Hell, come on, you got it. Put it in the bag, pay the woman, and let's go home. The worst thing is when they go, no, let's go to the other store. We don't need to go to no other store. We want a pants, that pants, put them in the bag, and let's go home. You know, the worst thing is I learned to understand. Let me tell you, I've learned to get Jasmine to watch a ball game with me. If I tell Jasmine, come on and watch this ball game. Bam, look at him here. Bam, look at him. Pow, isn't that great, Jasmine? She don't get it. You know, I say, Jasmine, come here, Jasmine. They got a story about the football player. Look at him when he's a little boy. Look at his mama. That's why they do, you know, that's why they do this, these shows, to get the women in. Oh, that's why, okay, let's go on him. That's why they do it. That's why they put all that nonsense on there. We don't care about that. We want the game. Get the game on. Who cares about what they were doing there growing up? And put the game on. We want to see some hitting, some slugging, and some, you know. Okay. All right. Let's end. Everybody say honor. Would you say honor? So when you get married, you need to honor your wife. How do you honor your wife? And living with them in an understanding way. They need to talk. You imagine Jasmine one day, I said, would you just stop talking? Would you stop talking? What if I said that to her? She'd cry. She said she'd cry. And guess what happened to me next time? I said, dear God, I need to. He said, I'm sorry, your prayers are hindered. Can I get a better amen? Understanding what she needs to talk. And especially if you go to work and she has small kids at home, you know, you don't know the story. You know, men talk so many thousands of words and women talk about 10 times that many thousands of words a day. And when you come home, you've used every bit of your thousands of words, but she hadn't got to use any of hers yet because she had little kids at home. So she's going to use all those words on you when you walk in the door. You just start rubbernecking. We go on and on. It's true in every house. I know we're different sometimes, but it's true. There's differences in every house. Some of you can be opposites. You can really fall in that category, and your wife falls in the other. It's absolutely normal. I mean, it is. But you have to live with each other in an understanding way. You grow. You know, one of the greatest honorings that ever took place happened a little over 2,000 years ago when the God of this universe honored you and I. When it says he so loved us, and let me just replace that word love with honor. He so honored us that he gave his only begotten son. He so honored us that God sent his son into the world to die in our place. What does that have to do with me? I remember a time a girl asked me, what does Jesus dying on the cross have to do with me? Because that is the way you understand it. God honored us. He so cherished us. He so valued us that he would pick heaven and not choose an angel or archangel, Michael, or anything. He so loved it. Paul said, who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that God made a way of salvation that we all have sinned. If you've ever told one lie, you're a sinner. What have you done to make? Well, I told the truth. And no, but you lied. It doesn't make a difference. If you've ever done one thing wrong, you've become a sinner. And the Bible says there's nothing you can do to make up for that. There's no good thing. You can't balance it out. You see, we think that somehow in the end, God's going to have a big old scale. And he's going to take all my bad stuff on this side. And he's going to take all my good stuff on that side. And then he's going to weigh it. And whichever one weighs the most. Silly. That's not what it is. It's not what it is. Do you know what God does? He takes on this side. He takes all your bad stuff and puts it on this side of the scale. Watch this. Then he also then takes all your good stuff and puts it on the same side of the scale. You mean he puts my bad and my good on? Yes. On the same side of the scale. Guess what he puts over on this side of the scale? If you repent and ask Jesus to take over your life, then Jesus is put on this side of the scale. Because all your good works is as filthy rags in God's sight. So the only way you can ever make heaven is not by outweighing the good with the bad. That doesn't work. All your good and bad is put on one side. And when you accept Jesus as your Savior, and Jesus is put on the other side. Come on, give him a good clap. Isn't that good? One of the worst words in the English language is worthless. When you devalue somebody, when you dishonor them, it's like they feel worthless. Somebody sent me a video the other day of some TV show they're doing now where they're filming it, and it's a filming thing. And there was in a restaurant, and they had this. Guy who was an actor dressed up as a bum, he comes into the restaurant, and the waiter says, get out of here, you ain't worth it. I'm not going to feed you, I'm not going to give you it. Get out of here. And they do it right beside another customer, just see the reaction of the customer. And they had this old man there, and you know what he was saying? After a minute or two, he said, hey, stop that. We're all getting in bad shape sometimes, we're all in hard times sometimes, stop doing that now. And it's just filming, and the waiter says, why is this guy in here? And he says, hey, you could tell this guy had been through a lot of stuff in his life. And he just begins crying because he's watching another human being devalue another human being. And you know what? It makes you feel worthless. It makes you, you know, you ever been belittled the way you feel worthless? You just, maybe something happened in your life, you just feel worthless. You just, somebody, whatever, you just feel, a boyfriend left, a girlfriend left, a wife left, a husband left, a neighbor, you just feel worthless. And that word in the English language comes from an old Saxon word. It's where it comes from how they used to call a coin. When coins used to be all silver or all gold. And if you ever seen some of those old coins, they have these ridges around them. And Todd this morning told me a little bit about it. It was these little ridges this morning, they used to take coins when they were smooth. They used to take a file, and they used to file it off a little bit. And they used to get a little bit of silver, a little bit of gold. And they, after a while, you'd have enough to make another coin or two and all that. Well, when they used to have a little bit of scales, and they would weigh, they have a weight. And a silver coin or a gold coin is worth what it weighs, because it was minted with so much gold in it, and they would weigh it. And through usage, or somebody filing it off, or just from usage and going, it begins to rub off, and the image begins to rub off, and you can't tell if it's an eagle or an Indian or whatever else. And what happened is that coin would become worth less than when it was first made. Worth less. That's where we get our word worth. We think worthless means it's not worth anything. No, it's worth less than when it was first made. And what they would do is they would take those coins and they would melt them back down at times, add a little bit, and the coin would become full weight again, full weight. So it would become complete again. It wouldn't be called worthless anymore, worthless. It'd be full weight. And they'd remint the image of the Indian or the eagle or whatever was on those early coins. One of the greatest things about honor, did you know people, or just by living life, they've gone through tragedies, they've gone through hurts, they've gone through stuff, and just all this stuff that happens to us, we just begin to feel worth less than when we did before. We feel worth less. But the word honor, one of the words in the Hebrew language, means to add weight, to give weight to something, give weight to it. You can honor somebody. You know, I'll never forget the first time I met Samuel. We were overseas somewhere, and he bought something for me, and an expensive item, and I remember. And then he looked at me, and here's what he said to me. I never forgot it. He said, you're worthy. He said, you're worthy. Nobody'd ever bought something from me. They'd give me gifts and all this, but nobody ever bought me something and says, no, you're worthy. You're worthy to receive this. And what they would do is, the Bible says when God so honored us that he gave his son, here's what it did. Jesus came, and the Bible says we're made in his image again. Then he remakes us into the image of Jesus. And what he does is he brings his weight and he honors us. And it adds weight back to our life because we had become worth less than when we first were created. Sin and usage and just everyday living. But Jesus comes and honors us. And when he does, he adds weight back to our life. And I'll tell you what, I like myself. Not because I'm some, you know, whatever. It's because I know that I'm a child of the living God. And Jesus himself, God the Father, has honored me where he gave his only begotten Son. If I would repent, receive Jesus, call him Lord, submit to him, follow him, my life now is no longer worthless. My life is worth something. Everybody say amen. Come on, give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that this morning? Close your eyes one last time, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray for every person here, not by accident, but by design. You brought them here. Lord, you know what they've gone through. You know what they're being bombarded with. You know if they've been hurt by friends, relatives, loved ones, whatever it may be. Maybe just life itself. Nobody knows but them. They know that they feel worthless. I pray this morning that they would, with all their heart, that they would just open their hearts fresh and new. I want everybody to pray with me. Just repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I repent this morning of all the wrong I've done. I ask you to come in my life. Give me weight again. Change me. Make me into your image. Save me, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, give the Lord a good clap offering one more time. Would you do that?